morning. Let us pray again. I'll be using part of Psalm 63. O God, you are our God. I pray that we would earnestly seek you this morning. I pray that our souls would thirst for you. I pray that our flesh would faint for you as we are living in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I pray this morning that through the preaching of your word, we would look upon you, beholding your power and glory. I pray that we would see that your steadfast love is better than life, and therefore that would overflow with lips that praise you. I pray that we would bless you as long as we live, and I pray that in your name, we would lift up your hands. And specifically this morning, O God, I pray that this beautiful truth through the book of Colossians, that Jesus Christ is supreme, in him we have everything that we need. I pray that we would seek the things that are above. I pray that these truths would go deep into our hearts and wide into our worlds. Would you change us and speak to us through the preaching of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning, and it's good to be with you. As we dive in, we have our words for kids. It's going to be slightly different this morning. Instead of specific words, we're just going to have one long theme. So kids, every time you hear our theme, the whole theme for Colossians, I want you to put a mark down. So the theme is, again, Jesus is supreme. In him, we have all that we need. So seek the things that are above. So every time you hear that, just put a mark down. So listen for that theme. The last few months, we've been working our way through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. Last week, we finished going through the text. And this week, what we're going to do is just kind of a review of the whole letter of Colossians. And I believe that repetition is really helpful when it comes to memory. So I want to repeat these things so that they would go deep into our minds and into our hearts. Again, my original plan was to start an Advent series last Sunday, but things didn't go to plan. But Lord willing, we'll conclude Colossians today, and then we'll do 2 weeks on Advent, the following 2 weeks, and then after that I'm going to do a mini-series on the Word of God, which will set forth our Bible reading plan for 2025. So Lord willing, that's our plan for the next few weeks. You will need your Bible today, so please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And I forgot to ask the guys this, but if you don't have your Bible, maybe Reuben and Carrie can come around and you can raise your hand and they can hand out a Bible to you. If anybody needs a Bible, just raise your hand. You will need it today because I'm not putting the words on the screen. I want you to look at it in the physical copy of God's Word. Again, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Our theme for Colossians is Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. In a few minutes, I'm going to read through the whole letter of Colossians. But before I do that, I want to give some brief reminders of the background information of this letter. And it's really important for us to understand the context of a book or even a passage in the Bible, because without understanding the context, we can easily take that passage out of context and we can make it mean whatever we want it to mean. So by way of review, here's some background information to the letter of Colossians. This book is a letter. Paul and Timothy are named the authors of the letters of this letter, and it's probable that Timothy was some sort of secretary or recorder. Paul dictated the words to Timothy and Timothy wrote it down. This letter was written to a church in a small town named Colossae. Colossae was about 100 miles east of Ephesus at the time. And the church got started when a guy named Epaphras from Colossae went to Ephesus, heard Paul preached, he got saved. Paul sent him back to Colossae, and he started sharing the gospel, and that's how this church in Colossae got started. When this letter was written, Epaphras was with Paul in Rome. Paul was in prison in Rome, and Epaphras was reporting to Paul what was going on in the church. And it was reported to Paul that there was a false teaching that was going on in this church. And so Paul is responding to this false teaching to talk to them about the truth and to encourage them in their spiritual maturity. At the heart of this false teaching, it's really hard to understand the specifics of it, but at the heart of it, it was some sort of combination of paganism with some sort of Jewish heresy. At the heart of it, one theologian says it really well, quote, "The Colossians wanted more. They desired to know not only the crucified Christ, but also deeper spiritual truths. They believed in Christ and the gospel, yet they found themselves looking for something else. And so they dabbled in Jewish philosophy and pagan magical practices. In their eyes, the gospel was not sufficient to meet all of their needs. Some of them, maybe, but not all." And so Paul is writing this letter to correct this heresy and affirm the priority of Christ in the gospel. End quote. And this is why I chose this letter to go through first, to remind us that Jesus Christ is the center of all things, and Jesus is all that we truly need. Jesus is supreme. In him we have all that we need. So seek the things that are above. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read through this whole letter together. And as I read through, I want you to note just the parts of our theme. And I also want you just to kind of reflect on, because we've gone through every verse of this letter now, so just reflect on the things that we've looked at as we've gone through this letter. This is God's word, the letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If, Indeed, you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, and of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding in the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Every word of that is God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. And I wanted to read the whole thing because I believe it is super important to read the whole thing together. Sometimes we can zoom in on one thing, and that's good, and we can dive deep into that. But reading the whole letter as a whole helps us understand how it is all put together. Now with that, we can easily struggle with the same things that the Colossians were struggling with. That yes, we believe in Christ and the gospel, but we can easily also want and look for more. It can be easy to believe in Jesus and still believe that you have to do more to earn his favor. It can be easy to believe in Jesus and still be motivated by guilt in everything that you do. It can be easy to believe in Jesus and still believe that you need more than what he has given you. It can be easy to believe in Jesus for salvation and still believe that you need something more for the Christian life. It is so easy for us to believe that Jesus is not enough. Beloved, is Jesus Christ enough for you? Colossians makes it clear that Jesus Christ is all that we need because Jesus Christ is supreme. Jesus is supreme over creation. Jesus is supreme over the spiritual realm. Jesus is supreme in his work of saving sinners. Jesus is supreme over all. And because Jesus is supreme, he is all that we need. We don't need anything else. All we need is Christ Jesus. That is, if you have Jesus Christ, you have all that we need. And we can say with the song, give me Christ or else I die. Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need. So seek the things that are above. My prayer over these last few months is that these beautiful truths have been etched in your mind, in your heart, and so that they would deeply impact how you think and how you live. Again, Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. What I want to do with the rest of our time this morning is, by way of review, look at each of the three parts of our theme for Colossians, and we're just going to work through the whole letter again, looking at what the letter says about each part. So the first part, Jesus is supreme, tells us, is a summary of actually what Colossians says about Jesus. The second part, in him you have all that you need, is a summary of who we are in Christ that Colossians tells us. And the third part, seek the things that are above, is how Colossians, again, summary of how Colossians tells us how we are to live. So I want to look at these again, and this is by way of review. I actually did this when we started Colossians. So we'll look at each of those in turn. First, what does Colossians say about Jesus, summarized by Jesus is supreme? Jesus is the Son of the Father. He is Lord. He has a kingdom. In him we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In everything he is preeminent. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He is reconciling to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. He has reconciled us. He is the head of all rule and authority. He was raised from the dead. God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. The substance belongs to Christ. He will appear again. Christ is all and in all, and he is master in heaven. Now, I see some of you trying to take notes. I do have all of this on my computer, or I also have the slides. If anybody wants, just ask me, or you can email the church email. I can, in 1 minute, send it to you. So I'm happy to do that. But I summarized all these findings with Jesus is supreme. So when I say Jesus is supreme, I mean all of these things that I just said. I'm just summarizing it with that statement. And I picked that statement because in Colossians 1:18 it says, in everything he might be preeminent, at least in the ESV. Now preeminent is kind of a huge word, so I just took what the NIV says. In everything he has the supremacy. And so I just kind of use that and use that as a summary for that theme. So Jesus Christ is supreme. The second thing we looked at in our theme is, what does Colossians say about who we are as Christians? And again, by way of review, let's look at what it says. This is summarized by, in him you have all that you need. We are saints. We are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. We have faith in Christ. We have love for all the saints. We have hope laid up in heaven. We have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We have been delivered from the domain of darkness. We have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. We were once alienated, but now we are reconciled. We will be presented as holy and blameless and above reproach before him. The mystery hidden for ages has been made known to us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We have been filled in him. In him our hearts have been circumcised. We have been buried with him in baptism. We have been raised with him through faith. We were dead in our trespasses and have been made alive together with him. We have been forgiven all of our trespasses. We have died to the elemental spirits of the world. We have been raised with Christ. We have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is our life. We will one day appear with him in glory. We have put off the old self and put on the new self. We are being renewed after the image of our Creator. We are God's chosen ones. We are holy and beloved. The Lord has forgiven us. Our inheritance is from the Lord, and we are serving the Lord. This one was a little bit harder to summarize, but I went with, in Christ we have all that we need, because in Christ Jesus, all of these beautiful truths are true for you. In Christ, you have all of these things. You don't need anything else. In Christ, you have all that you need. The third part of our theme that we looked at is, how does Colossians tell us how we are to live as Christians? And I summarize this with, seek the things that are above. And so again, by way of review, working through the letter. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Bear fruit in every good work. Increase in the knowledge of God. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Do not shift from the hope of the gospel. Walk in Christ, rooted and built up in him. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Let no one pass judgment on you. Let no one disqualify you. Seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above. Put to death what is earthly in you. Put on the new self. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents in everything. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Slaves, obey your masters. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Make the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious. And remember my chains. I summarize this section, which is, or with, seek the things that are above. And that's coming directly from Colossians 3, verse 1, where it says specifically, seek the things that are above. And as I've mentioned before, I believe that Colossians 3, verse 1 is an excellent summary of the whole letter. And so if you only memorize one verse from this letter, I would highly recommend it. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. Again, this repetition and this review is meant to go to bring these truths into our minds and then from our minds to our hearts so then that we would go into our world. And as I've said before, I've been praying that these truths would go deep, deep into our hearts so that they would go wide into the world. I pray that you would believe so deeply that Jesus Christ is supreme. I pray that you would know deep down in your bones that in Christ you have all that you need. You don't need anything else. And I pray that you would live seeking the things that are above. So again, I pray that this would go deep into your hearts and then wide into the world. And what better place to conclude with our theme? Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. We thank you for the depth and the breadth of your word, that even in this small letter, which is not even three full pages in my Bible, we can dive deep in these amazing truths that Jesus Christ is supreme, that in him we have all that we need. And I pray that these truths would go deep into our hearts so that we would then seek the things that are above. God, I pray that you would help us to remember these truths, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. Would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring these truths deep into our hearts and into our lives? Would you move in a mighty way through this beautiful and amazing letter because of your beautiful and amazing Son, Christ Jesus? Jesus, you are supreme, and we worship you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.